You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed, and this morning we're chatting with Professor Deirdre Brown of Ngā Puhi and Ngāti Kahu. She's also a Professor of Architecture and Planning in the Faculty of Creative Arts and Industries. And we're talking about some missing whakairo rākau which have been found after 200 years. Kia ora, Deirdre, how are you this morning?
Oh, kia ora, I'm very well, thank you.
Lovely to have you on the show. This is a pretty exciting piece of news. Do you want to tell us a wee bit about what's happened?
Oh, right. So I've been looking for these whakairo for about 8 years now and managed to find them.
Wow.
So they were sent offshore by a missionary called Thomas Kendall in 1823, who wrote a very descriptive letter about these eight beautiful whakairo rākau. And while the letters survived, and there's actually been a really strong influence on what we know about Māori wood carving practice and its spiritual and mātauranga Māori meanings, that became separated from the whakairo themselves. So people have tried to look for them for the past 60 years, but thanks to advances in digital technologies, I've been able to locate them, which has been great.
That is so exciting. What a special thing to be able to kind of actually solve a bit of a history mystery in your research as well, and bring these back into the conversation for 2024. What is whakairo rākau for people who don't know, Deirdre?
Whakairo rākau, most people will know it as Māori wood carving, and whakairo rākau that I've been looking at, they are mostly associated with pātaka or Māori raised storehouses. So people would have seen these, there's some beautiful examples in Auckland Museum, but also waka, waka tawa, Māori war canoes, so parts of those.
That's so exciting to be able to track them down. How did that process actually come about? Because you obviously had these letters, and as you said, people have been looking for decades for these. Why were people searching for these specifically? What made that specifically important?
Well, they're the first ones to have left the country, or the first ones to be to have their Māori meanings written down, so very, very early in 1823, so the whakairo rākau themselves are not influenced by European culture in any way. And what makes them really fascinating is that the principal person who was giving this information was a woman called Tūngāroa. And the meanings that are associated with them are Ngā Puhi specific, so Northern specific. And one of them is an illustration of the ancestor Nuku Tawhiti, who's actually one of my ancestors if you go a long way back. But Nuku Tawhiti was a captain of a migratory canoe. And so they talk about, in the writings, they talk about in Tūngāroa's narrative about three states of existence, like a pre-birth state, the world of the living, and then an afterworld state, and how this was all contained, all this knowledge was contained in the carvings. And, Kendall notes that even young children understand the meaning of these things, but the carvings are the means by which they're explained around the community. So they're in a sense, a record of mātauranga Māori and Māori understandings of life in the universe.
So even this letter being 200 years old, the fact that that survived is pretty remarkable. How was that preserved, or where was that kept?
Well, this is an interesting thing, and it's sadly the story of many taonga Māori that get sent offshore, many Māori treasures. So the letter ended up in the Church Missionary Society archive and somehow ended up in the hands of a dealer who was able to deposit it in a New Zealand institution in the Hocken Library. And Judith Binney, who was a professor at Waipapa Taumata Rau, the University of Auckland, in the 1960s, wrote about it, and that's how a lot of people came to know about it. And this information has really informed our understanding of Māori art history, so I also teach and research in Māori art history too. And we've had these descriptions, which are not descriptions of, I guess, the function of these carvings, so we've had to guess at what they were, but actually what they meant, and they've been quite highly influential in what we've been able to teach. So to finally be able to marry them up with the actual carvings, and, you know, sort of like, aha, you know, that's a doorway, yeah, that's part of a waka, that's really helpful going forward.
That must have been such an exciting experience to see them in person for the first time. How did that feel for you?
Oh, it was very exciting, and how I managed to track them down at the end was that I realised that they all had Roman numerals carved into them, and this had been done by the missionaries once they got to London, so I had to start engaging with museums and contacting them, and it sounded a bit weird, so just be really careful what I said. Have you got Roman numerals carved into your taonga Māori? Because it sounds like you've read too much Dan Brown or something, yeah, a bit Da Vinci Code, yeah, sort of disgraced missionaries and priests and all sorts of things. But I was able to compel them to go and look for them in their stores and to check if they had these numbers. And last year I was able to visit a number of them in Europe. So there are three in Berlin in the Ethnological Museum, one's on public display in the Humboldt Forum, and also another one that's on display in Zurich in the Museum Reitberg. And as a descendant, super, super exciting to see them, particularly the one of Nukutafiti, which is on display. But also they were just really beautiful examples of Whakaero Raka, beautifully carved. I mean, it's just exceptional to see that kind of quality and the level of detail, and to think about who made them and what they were thinking about as they made them.
It's such an incredible thing. I imagine there is a little bit of sadness or some, you know, complex feelings about those Whakaero Rākau still being offshore and also being spread across different institutions. How does that sort of feel for you as a researcher and also, as you say, as a descendant as well?
Yeah, there's always a bit of mamai that things aren't here, a bit of sadness that we don't have our taonga here. They are currently very well looked after. I've been involved in repatriation processes before, and they do require iwi and hapu to be on board to have a plan and want to have them back. So if that were to happen, it would have to be generated from the community and community engagements with museums. But projects like this are helpful because they connect communities to museums, and those engagements can be really empowering for both the institution and the community.
Well, it's such an exciting story. We'll link a link to this full story for people who want to go see some photos of these and read a little bit more about it. But thank you so much, Deirdre, for speaking with us this morning. What a really amazing piece of research and an exciting outcome as well.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Kia ora, we'll see you later.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.